Skincare experts and dermatologists have often touted the benefits of indoor humidity as essential for healthy, glowing skin. But did you know dry air can start to harm your skin in as little as 30 minutes? For years, many people have relied on humidifiers for better skin, sleep, and overall wellness. But traditional models? Bulky, mold-prone, and difficult to maintain. That's where Canopy Humidifier comes in. Recommended by leading dermatologists, Canopy is a completely reimagined humidifier designed to elevate any space, offering the ultimate in skincare and wellness benefits. Canopy's clean moisture combats dryness, dullness, and fine lines while strengthening the skin's barrier and boosting the effectiveness of topical skincare products. With its sleek design, Canopy is the cleanest and easiest humidifier on the market. With its unique technology, cleaning is as easy as popping it in the dishwasher. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy humidifier purchase today with Canopy's filter subscription. Even better, use code PODCAST at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Your skin well, thank you.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Cynthia Yanoff, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author Dr. Ken Wilgus. Dr. Ken, how are you?
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
All is well over here. You know what? My cup is full, and I'm going to say this because it will lead into what we're going to talk about today. But you recall I have one kiddo that just graduated from college. It's starting law school. You know her.
Yep.
Kate. And then
been
I have
redshirted for a fine law school. Like,
yes.
Please come to us next year. This is a winner. She's a winner.
Come to us next year. She'll be taking NIL money for her redshirt year. And yeah. And then I have one that just started college. And then I have my little one. And my oldest is a girl. And everybody, gosh, thank goodness for firstborn girls. And she says, will you come meet me for lunch? I'd love to see y'all. I'll be in Temple. Now, if you're in Texas, you realize Temple isn't really close to where I am.
That's not close. You must be a wonderful mother. She wants to be with you all the time.
Heavens no. But so we said, let's do this. And then we said to our son, hey, we're going to go meet your sister. Why don't you come from your college and meet us too? To which got an immediate, why? I have food.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must be a terrible mother.
Right.
Which is it?
I know. It's the tale of two children is what I'd like to share with everyone.
Yes.
And eventually that one did come. I think he got bribed or threatened by his sister. I'm not sure. But I don't think
you're above either of those.
Right. Oh, I do either. I don't. Yeah. But I was thinking about this because it was such a moment. Like, I was like so thrilled to get to spend time with everybody in one spot. And we got a listener question that kind of speaks to this too. And I'm going to read it and then I'll make my point. You can then tell me I'm wrong. So the listener said, hi, Dr. Ken and Cynthia. I've been a fan and listened to both your podcasts for many years. And now I'm thrilled that you're joining forces to help us with our teens. I'm struggling a lot lately with my high school senior and the amount of time he actually spends at home. By the way, I wanted to interject I thought that was interesting. I'm like, I know
that's important.
He needs time away, and that is normal for him to want to be with his friends, but it's still hard. I can go days without seeing him for more than 5 minutes at a time because of school, sports, a job, and a girlfriend. He definitely spends more time at her house, the girlfriend, than he does at his own. He has a lot of freedoms, and we only require him to be home on Sunday nights for family dinner and family time. It breaks my heart when he acts like it's asking too much, and then he's grumpy when he's around our family. Overall, great kid, doing well in school, still going to church, even though we've told him that's his choice now. There are many things to be proud of. I guess I just want to know, this is normal, right? Why doesn't anyone tell you that this can be so heartbreaking? And I read that and I thought, yes, and yes, and yes. And the other day when I got to be with both my kids and they were fairly voluntarily with us, I thought, okay, now some of this comes back around and it is so heartbreaking in the moment, but I do think... it's been my experience, and it's limited, albeit, but the way they are their senior year in high school is not indicative of anything of what's to come. So talk to us about that. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. Plus, you know, when you read that question, you know, you're talking about a mom, and I think she knows this, you're winning. You have a senior that is out there. You know, I'm sure she knows, our listeners know, of seniors that are going nowhere on the weekends and staying in, and they think their social media life is a social life. So, you know, this is the better problem to have comparatively. Work, school, social life, you know, isn't around much. Yeah. I think she knows that. The other thing that I think you're right is I'm not surprised that it's a boy, because with girls that are doing well, it's more likely that she will at least maintain connection more, especially with her mother. That's common. And this question also said how we have done this. So if she talked about her and her husband, then she should probably ask her husband, does it bother you? Mm-hmm. And you have to really ask, because, you know, we husbands are like, yeah, me too. Actually, probably not. And it may help her to know that, you know, that's why you have a mother and a father. It is particularly painful for mothers, especially like this woman who's clearly, she's knowledgeable enough. She knows this is a good thing, but it does feel hurtful. And I totally get that. And so do you. Just like you were telling that story, that it's like, I get it. But it has more to do with, okay, well, if they're in the senior year, what am I supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Well, and I don't know who, I forget the exact quote, but you get this one thrown in your face as a mom all the time. They're like, to be a successful mom, you're going to work yourself out of a job. And you kind of want to slug them and you want to be like, really? Like, let's not. Do we have to? I'm not trying to.
I
kind of
think
work.
I said that once. So oh, well. I'm so glad you're over this video.
It's going well.
It's getting aggressive here.
It is. It's a good thing we're not in
You're
person.
Working your way out of a job.
Yeah, working your way out. I'm like, stop with all that right there. Thank you. But it, truth be told, I mean, this does fit into that whole idea of healthy separation and individuation and all the things we're wanting for our kids. And so talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, in all honesty, the first response to this, because again, it's quite normal for moms to feel this, that should be seen as a signal to talk to your husband. Like a mom that feels that sadness, and again, it's not like she's wrong for feeling it, of course, but she needs more support from her husband. And I'll bet you $10 that she would say, well, I mean, he's doing fine. And he'd go, what do you mean? It's not necessarily easy to figure out, well, what would it look like if this teenager is so busy that he's gone all the time, but she doesn't even notice? Because my husband started doing what? I often talk to wives about, take time to actually fantasize about what would make your movie great, because most wives don't believe it, but every husband listening knows it's true. He wants to know what will make you happy and to be your hero. It's one of the magic things about marriage. Women want their husband to be happy, but not like men do. The reason it's hard to see is because we pretend like we don't. We're so touchy. The point is, that sadness should trigger a series of talks about, I need more from you. I need to be able to talk to you. I need to spend time with you. I need to be able to share with you just how miserable this is. And please don't explain to me that I shouldn't feel this way. I need you to do that thing. Remember I told you, like, write little cue cards that say things like, oh, I know. Or, yep, I know exactly how you feel. So that she can know that she's known. It's a signal that your marriage needs to step up. And that's step number one. Yeah. Step number two, and especially with a mother like this who knows about Freedom's List and so forth, it is not inappropriate to talk about, hey, listen, I'm so pleased that everything's going fine. I miss you. And remember when we said last Sunday, hey, we want you to stay home and just do dinner with us. And you did, but you seemed like you didn't like it. And I got to say, it kind of hurts my feelings. For many parents, that feels wrong, right? Does that feel like that I shouldn't guilt my boy in that way? But he's an adult, you know what I mean? I don't think it's unfair to just tell him the truth that you're not doing something wrong, but this does kind of hurt my feelings. Does that hit you wrong?
No, not at all. And in fact, I just recently had something that came up with my son, and I kind of, shocking everybody, I overreacted a little bit, and we had some words about it. I know, I was shocked as anybody. We had some words, and I came back later, and I said to him, here's what the root of that was. Here's my fear. And I just told him, quite honestly, my fear is that this is how this is going to play out long term, and this is how it's going to impact our family. And we didn't have a moment where it's like kumbaya, and he played a chord on the guitar and
exactly.
We cried together. But I also could see that he was like, well, that doesn't even make sense, Mom. That's never going to happen. And it was enough that I felt like he assured me in a small way, but he also could see my perspective. So I like that you're letting him in on the process of it. Like, you know,
that's right.
I'm trying to figure this out and it's hard and I'm sad.
Yeah. And if you put the two things together, I'm actually a fan of a dad who doesn't overdo it, but does feel free to occasionally say to his son, you know, your mom could use a little more from you these days. I know you're, but Dad, I know, and you don't have to. You're too old for me to tell you that you have to. But I am telling you, your mom is a woman, and it does hurt her feelings when you don't even pretend to want to be around her. I don't think that's overdoing it. This is a successful young adult man that can do better. And it also signals that this is not just about you being treated right by your parents. It's also true that your parents are affected by what you do and don't do. And so, yeah, I think you could do both. Signal to really step up on the marriage, that you could get away with not feeling that close because I was busy with my children. But this is probably an early sign of, whoops, we're going to have to really reconnect on a deeper level for her sake. But then secondly, don't be afraid to say to this young adult, you know, I wouldn't guilt them, you know, like, you know, you could spend some time around here. I don't think that's helpful. You start with how you feel. I'm feeling weirdly kind of ignored here, and I'm sorry, but I just want you to know that.
Yeah. Mike jokingly told Brett when he left for college, he said, like, here's the amount of money we're going to give you each month, and it's going to be weekly after you call your mother each week. I said, I don't hate that.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm not sure that's exactly what he ended up doing, but it did make me laugh. But I do wonder sometimes when he calls randomly with nothing to say, I'm like, uh-oh, is his dad not paying him until he calls me? So
you know,
whatever it takes, everyone. Okay, whatever
that's
it
right.
takes. Well, let's talk about just maybe not senior year, but just in general, like if you have the teen that's grumpy and disengaged, and you know, it can impact the entire family dynamic when you're trying to sit down, especially if you have younger kids and you're trying to sit down and you're trying to have these moments and have dinner. And so there's that side of you that wants to be like, forget it. Just go do whatever you're going to do.
Right.
Or we're just never going to go on family vacations then,
right,
because you're miserable and it costs too much. But at the same time, you also want to show them that, one, we care about this family dynamic. Your siblings want to see you, and you don't rule the world. You know, like we used to tell our kids all the time, you're 1/5 of this family. We would tell our kids all the time, like when one of them would be really demanding out something, I'm like, you're 1/5 and 4/5 is not going the same direction you are. So you're going to follow the rest of us. And sometimes it works, and sometimes we got huffed at the whole night. But so tell us, I mean, do we, when they're like that, do we just let it go? Do we carry on like nothing happened? Do we stop requiring them to show up? Like, what's the best way to handle that?
Well, I think this falls into the more, you know, creative ways. Remember, plan emancipation is actually, it's not math that you do this list and this list. It's whatever steps, those steps are part of giving across in 100 different ways the message that you're not a child here, you're an adult. So in those examples of saying, for example, there's nothing wrong all through adolescence of saying, look, you know, we do family night every whatever, but starting now, you don't have to come except for two of them a month, and now one a month. You can, that's fine. That helps to have some freedom with that. But then to also talk to them about, listen, I'm glad you had to be here last time because you were out of skips, but your sister watches you. Young adult kids don't recognize and need to be reminded of the impact they have. Just like you said, this isn't all about you. You're important to us. And even though I get it, you're getting ready for your own family in a few years, whatever, it would help a great deal. And I would emphasize right up front, you're not in trouble for this, because teenagers are always like, what are you going to do? No, you're not in trouble, but I am surprised that, and I told you this before, I like the phrase, I thought you were old enough for this. It surprises me that you would talk like a six-year-old that's all huffy and stuff when I think you see how important you are to your little brother. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that thing is, that's, again, it's not specifically guilting them. I would argue that's respecting them and talking to them and reminding them of the impact that they have. It's the same thing with the mom that says, hey, it hurts my feelings when you don't seem to want to be around. It's not about, and be careful that you don't talk about it like it's some rule. You know, older siblings and younger siblings, don't be a psychologist, be a parent that says, it's hard for me to watch because I don't think you realize how much he wants you to be around and stuff. So you don't have to, except for the minimum we told you. But I just wanted you to know that. I don't think you realize that. That's part of what could be a myriad of creative other ways that I would argue are signaling to this young adult, I love you and I'm concerned. I want to help you, but also I respect you. And you have the power to, you can and should do better than this.
Yeah. On a practical level, I've seen this before, the good side and the bad side, but sometimes we're wanting our kids to be engaged and to be happy about it and all things, but we're asking them to do things that just they're not going to enjoy. I mean, for me, if I were to ask my older kids, like, would you guys come in and watch Lincoln Lawyer with me tonight? They would be like, I'm sorry, what? But if you ask them to watch a different one, something they like, or, you know, something on Netflix, it's like a different game, and they're willing to do things. And I do wonder if some of it, too, is we need to have flexibility. I remember my mom tells a story about how younger kids, my brothers really both wanted to be truck drivers. Like, that's what they wanted to be. And she was like, okay. And so she took them to the Mack truck place, and they learned about trucks, and she let them sit in them and kick the tires, all that. And that's little kids. But I'm just saying, is there not a little bit of that where we need to get interested in what they're interested in? If we want to spend time with them, then we're welcome to sit by the video game and chat with them sometimes, and maybe lean into that versus having these expectations that they're going to mold into what we enjoy doing or what our expectations are.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, a good subtle part of the question. For children, you definitely, it's a good idea to try to involve yourself in the things that they're involved in. For young adolescents, it's still helpful, especially when you're trying to make that connection. You know, I talk to, for example, so many times I'm talking to a divorced dad that doesn't feel real connected to his teenage kid. And, you know, she doesn't even want to come over here on my weekend. Well, what are you doing on your weekend? Well, my wife and I go to dinner and we ask her to come. I'm like, what tickets to what would you be able to say that she'd go, oh, I'll do that. You know, so there's a place for that, for involving yourself in their life. But especially by older adolescents and throughout adolescence, we're talking about that's not the only thing. And too often, I think, on the social media, things get pitted against each other as if it's black or white. Should I, you know, have compassion for my kid and involve myself in what they do? Or do I expect from them to also be involved with? Well, it's sort of both. It depends on the age. And so, yeah, I think it's perfectly appropriate. I know you've spent plenty of time talking to your kids about things that you weren't that interested in, but that's what they were into. That's great. But especially by in this, the question we've been talking about that was sent to us is about a high school senior. Well, I think it's also very appropriate to be able to say, please, just, you know, it's White Christmas. I watch it every year. Please watch it with me. And even better, if your husband's going, kids, I don't like it either, but I think we should all sit and watch. I mean, just whatever the dynamic is of taking care of each other.
Yeah.
It's just part of respecting your young adult and saying, you have an impact here, mm-hmm. and you know, sulkily going along with what we make you do, you're getting a little old for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this thin line too between being controlling, and I think we've all watched those parents. Heck, maybe I am that parent now that I say it, but controlling versus saying we care about the relationship. And I think we all care about relationship, but man, you can cross that line fast between just caring about the family dynamic and I want to have a relationship with them to actually figure out, like, I'm actually kind of controlling about things. And
that's
a
good point.
And I'd love to hear you talk about that a little bit, because I think especially in this day and age, there's this whole mindset that you have to have the fun house when they're in high school so that everybody's at your house.
Everyone's at my house. That's
and
right.
I don't care if we have to, you know, get night jobs at the Circle K, we're going to have a pool and we're going to have a pool table and we're going to have all the best snacks. And on the real extreme, I mean, some families will, you know, well, we're going to let them drink as long as they're under our roof. I mean, that's real extreme, but we're not talking about that. But there's this, and then, so you can start feeling like, well, I didn't listen. We're not the fun house. They're not here. They're always at so-and-so's house. And then you feel bad about that. And then you can lean into trying to control that a little bit. And well, I'll show them. You have to be at our house. Now, if all your friends want to come, but you. So I think just as a mom, I've seen all of this and I've felt all of it. What are some things to look for to know if we're leaning into the controlling versus just it really is about maintaining a good family dynamic?
Well, I think that's a good complex question because, you know, those parents, I've known so many of them that are like, we want our house to be the place everyone comes to. And you realize that if you're that family, to have that, you need to have like 5 to 10 other kids who are not with their family. They're at your house. Well, Do you have any concern for that community? You know, is it just all about you? But the other part is the I'll do what it takes, you know, to make you want to be here, including, and this is kind of what you referred to, very often that parent is also the one that moralizes. Instead of saying, hey, I want this and I'm asking for this, they go on a false, more controlling level of, we believe in family. We believe, you mean your family, you know, you believe in us connected to you. This is a side note, but this happens a lot with wealthy parents. They have the power to keep their kids obligated, and those are the same ones that will actually spout off about, we just believe family is important. Well, you mean your family. If your kid is married, he is with his family, or, you know, all that stuff. It's no me. So it's controlling, but more specifically, it's kind of hidden behind a sort of moralizing instead of owning that this is something that we really want and we're seeking for that. And if they're not wanting to be here, there's reasons why that is. The most common, and again, feeding the mouth parents are very often the people kids want to hang out with because they're not they don't treat them in little kid ways. But at the very same time, it's also, I think those kind of parents need to identify controlling is really a kind of selfishness. It is just trying to, I want this to, my parenting and my house to look like this. That's not your goal. Your goal is, I want my kids to go through this or to be provided this. It doesn't matter if I look good in this spot. It matters what my kid is learning, gaining, how they're being treated.
Well, and I love that I guess I'd never even thought about that. Like, when there is a price for other families, when you decide you're going to be the cool house and everybody's, I mean, there's some mom on the other side that's writing a question similar to this, like, my kid never wants to be home. So
that's exactly, yeah. Right.
Okay. And then one other nuanced thing in that question that I wanted to ask you about, and she mentioned that the son spends more time at the girlfriend's house than at theirs. And I do think that's something to consider, because our high school kids, once they're in college, nothing we can do about that. Like, it is what it is, right? If they're in college together.
You can try, but you shouldn't.
You should not. I think we've gone controlling at that point. But in the high school years, I think there's this wonder. I've wondered, like, we're not married yet. I don't know that we need to travel
That's
together.
Right.
We don't need to travel. We need to leave an out if this isn't your person for
that
someday.
That is right.
And if we've done homework every night at their house, and we've eaten every family dinner over there, and we've gone on their vacations, and you know, we went to the rehearsal dinner for sister's wedding, and we're in the pictures. Like, there's just this sense of, like, do I need to help keep that space with my son or daughter so that this is, I know what I know they don't know, because they are in love and they're 16 or 17 or whatever. And so talk to us a little bit about that too. When you have a dating young adult that's not in college yet or has not moved out of the home, do we need to keep some boundaries in that and help them when you know they can't do that well, or have conversations around it?
Yeah, that's a great point. You absolutely do need to think about those kind of boundaries. But what a teenager needs to know is why. So, for example, it's not unusual. This question is made better, you and I both know, because, oh, you're talking about your son? Yeah, boys tend to be that way. They want to hang out at their girlfriend's parents' house, whatever. So that's not a stunner or a surprise. But this is where you get at, like in the example here of dating, have you talked to your children and adolescents about the goal of dating, which for Christian parents, and not all, I mean, even non-Christian, it should be marriage. We are wanting you to find the person for you to be married to. Well, I just want to go over your house for the fifth day of this week. Yeah, that's too close. You're not married. And I want to try to give you balance with that, and always letting them know there'll come a point when this is up to you, which I would suggest, at least by senior year, we won't be limiting that as much. But even senior year, you can't have her spend the night or, you know, whatever. But you want to be clear about the why. And the why is usually, it's better if you can set marriage as the pinnacle. This can hurt your marriage. Do you think she's the one you're going to marry? Well, I don't know. Well, you realize that if she's not, you're going to be telling your future wife, who is the most amazing girl you've ever seen, something kind of embarrassing about what happened with this girlfriend. This is the kind of thing, that's the pinnacle, but at least secondarily, the main reason is sex. You're going to get super familiar. We're trying to help you not have sex. We're not having sex. I don't think you are. But, you know, familiarity, spending all your time together, emotional intimacy leads to desires for sexual intimacy. It's just too much. So we're sorry, but we are trying to limit some of that. That's not the same as messages like, why do you like being over there? What do her parents do that we don't? That's missing your point, you know, as for what's important at this age.
Yeah. I just had a mom who's an excellent, I mean, incredible mother, but I remember her talking to me and she said, you know, my son dated this girl through high school. He was convinced she was the one. He spent every living moment there. She broke up with him and he can't recover. Like and she's like, I wish I would have known. Like, I probably should have emphasized, like, we need some distance in this. Like, we're not going to have dinner over there every night and do homework. And she's like, it never occurred to me. And she's like, and now he's deaf. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's worth thinking out. Okay. And then as we're wrapping up, how do we connect with a kid that's rarely home? And so how do we still have those, if they're, especially in the older years and they're out doing their thing and they're busy and whatever, how do we have those moments of connection with them?
I think that you want to assert yourself in asking for some time. You do want to be listening for, is this just a very busy teenager with the rest of their life? Are there some things that are making it hard for you to want to be around me? And you can ask that. Don't overdo it. But you can definitely, you know, if you ask her, well, you know, is there something that you need to tell me that you're unhappy with me about? No. Why? Well, you're never here. And I know that that's fine and it is good for you, but I just want to make sure we're good because, and then you go to this message we're talking about. I miss you and I think it's great. You're getting ready. You'll be gone. That's all fine. But I would like to talk to you more. And, you know, I've done this for years. Virtually every successful teenager that has a decent relationship with their parents, I've not known one that did not respond to that. They just, you know, it's a good start in appropriately letting your adult children know that you have needs as well. We all know parents that are 70s, you know, 80s, and will not have a need. It's not me. I'm just telling it for you. Well, that's unrealistic. And being able to appropriately have a family relationship that says, I need this from you, and you don't have to, but I'm, and knowing what to ask for that's appropriate, I think is part of being an adult.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess let's end on a personal note, just with you and your kids, and I'll speak to me and my kids and even watching myself and my brothers with my parents. But I was busy in high school and busy not doing things were academic, by the way, everybody. I was busy being social and I was never home. And when I did, I had 30 people with me. And that course corrected later. I mean, through college, I got a little homesick. I missed them. I realized that was a good gig. And as we've gotten older, we're very close. I've seen it with my brothers who were really like kind of wild child syndrome with those two. And they're very close to my parents. I've seen it with my older two as they were busy and I had moments of thinking, and I'm seeing them now come back and us have, it feels like the hard work we put in to establish relationship with our kids, it may not feel like it pays off in high school, but it does later. And I'm
That's
just wondering,
a great point.
Have you seen that with yours too?
Absolutely. I mean, my kids were, they were very busy, very involved with their own things. I think the most important thing about what you're talking about is not all the kids are the same. And this is part of, you know, when parents realize that this isn't all just a product of you, then you're freer to go, well, your sister loved hanging out here. And I know that you hate it here. You know, my brother and I both loved being gone a bunch. And our younger sister was 6 years behind. But I got, you know, I didn't pay any attention. But after I had left, she was living a very close life to our parents. She liked them, hung around with them. We're like, what is that? Well, she's, you know, it's just a different relationship. And it's, don't get me wrong, we liked our parents. But it's not only going to change as time gets going, but don't expect every child to be what you're looking for because it doesn't reflect on you. It's going to be different at different ages. And yeah, no, are you kidding me? Now it's all changed with grandchildren. I just want to be wherever they are. I don't care where my kids are. So give me that baby and you just do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love how our listener answered the question. I guess I just want to know, this is normal, right? So let's give a resounding right.
Yes, right. It is normal.
Yeah. All righty. Thanks for doing this. And I'm sure we'll be back with something next week. But I sure do like the questions that people are sending in.
You know, I think those things are so important for us. And I love, and we've said this before, these are not easy questions. That's what I like. And they're worthy of really some time to really stretch out and think about.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Archie Ken.
Thanks, Cynthia.